I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay. Come through, Queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, Queen.
Hi, everyone. It's Dan.
And Brendan.
And this is Come Through, Queen. Well, Brendan, this week we are honored to be joined by the host of, I think, I'm going to just say it, the podcast of the summer.
The podcast of the summer.
Finding Fire Island.
A returning guest.
A returning guest, Jess Rothschild.
Guys.
Wow.
Wow, Bethany, wow.
Wow, Bethany, wow.
We'll get to Bethany and Fire Island and then Bethany and everything else later.
We sure will. But I
listeners,
mean,
this is going to be 4 hours on Bethany, so just sit tight.
This is a super-sized episode. Okay, we got to talk about Finding Fire Island, which I'm saying is the podcast of the summer because, like, it's the only podcast that I'm, like, downloading, like, for my drive.
Yeah.
As I'm waking up that day it comes out.
Yeah. We talked about it on Patreon, but I don't think we've talked about it yet on main
show. I've mentioned it on main show.
We've mentioned it, yeah.
But we haven't mentioned it all.
So, wow. Jess, why don't you give us, like, a rundown of what this podcast is and what made you do it?
Yeah, so, first of all, I mean, you know I love you guys. Mm. Like, that is so sweet. Like, hearing everything you just said, like, so as you guys know, I've been hosting my show Hot Takes and Deep Dives for several years now, and I am a native New Yorker. I'm actually from Long Island, and so I'm a gay person.
Yeah.
So when you put all those things together, that equates to going out to Fire Island quite a bit. And I'm also like a big Hamptons person, and it's easy, sort of
perfect for this week, really.
And So I've been going out to Fire Island since 2008.
Okay.
That was my very first trip out. So for like 15 years with friends. And when I got into a very long relationship, she actually hated Fire Island.
Wow.
So that's when like our life was really the Hamptons. And we had like a very sudden breakup right before COVID.
Okay.
Right.
And that was when I really started going out and doing a lot of soul searching. And that summer of really June 2020, I was trying to still live like my Hamptons life that I had with my ex. And this is like a series, like we were together 8.5 years. Like we actually were legally married.
Wow.
Wow.
Which I don't really talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
But
was your ex Aaron from Roni?
I wish. No, I wish my ex was Jenna Lyons.
Yes, yes.
No,
yes.
I wish my current wife was Jenna Lyons.
Yes,
of course.
But so anyway, even before that, I was getting more entrenched in the Fire Island community, like meeting more like locals, like older people.
Sure.
I can't, maybe I'm getting off track here. The point is, I'm obsessed with Fire Island.
Yeah.
And I always have been. And in doing Hot Takes and Deep Dives, I would often ask Like, I'm sure you've listened to a lot of my stuff. Yes, like, yes. Yeah. I would always ask, like, Margaret Cho, or I may even ask Rosie. Like, and I think the answer was no, she had never been there, so I cut it out.
Okay. Yes.
But if there's, like, a line to, like, a New Yorker, I will often throw it out to, like, a Fire Island or Provincetown.
That's one thing I like about your podcast is you have your specific lines that you throw out. It's Fire Island, Provincetown, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell,
The L Word. Yes, those are the common threads that I will pull on. And so anyway, I really just didn't, I could never find a piece of media that truly satisfied like the itch that I had about Fire Island. There are very few documentaries made. One of them you literally can't even find. Oh. It's called Where Ocean Meets Sky.
Okay.
It's unfindable.
Sure.
It's like the guy who made it lost the rights to it. Seriously.
Wow.
And there's maybe like a few books written about Fire Island. And then of course there's a Fire Island movie, which is great and I loved, but you would never know that there's any history.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a fictionalized story and like they got great exterior shots, recreated interior locations.
But it very much takes place in the moment of that weekend and you don't get the backstories and all that.
So what I wanted to do was take that, but then marry it to all the history, like me knowing all of the rich history.
Yeah.
And then also in the process of a lot of this stuff I didn't know. Like I knew that there were areas to dig into, but there are certain nuances that I would not know unless like truly talking to the people who've been there since the 50s.
So leading up to recording tonight, we were chatting how both Brendan and I think this week's episode that just dropped, episode 5.
About the Pines invasion.
The invasion.
The invasion of the Pines. Yeah.
Is maybe both of our favorite episodes.
Tell me why.
Okay. The fact that you have, and going into the podcast, I didn't know who these people were. You introduced us to them earlier. Rose and Dandy.
Pansy. But also, I think that's my fault because my friend was like, Hansy. I'm like, it's Pansy. Is that my fault for enunciating?
No. Like, I'm just like, Pansy and Dandy feel like two like words that are hop, skip, and a jump from each other.
Well, I mean, like, those are things you call gay people. Yeah.
So, like, you introduce us to these characters early, and I was like, even impressed for you to be interviewing them to begin with. But then to come to learn that, like, I know very, like, vaguely about the invasion. I've never been to Fire Island, but I know, like, the big bullet points that I know about the invasion. To have like the two people that started it 50 years ago is like
Rose is 90, right?
Rose is 90.
Yes. Yeah. Still performing.
And I just want to add to like those two characters beyond like hearing about them telling us about the invasion as the creators.
People might know the invasion is the annual July 4th event.
Yeah. Where they everyone dresses in drag, comes, invades from Cherry Grove to the Pines.
On a now it's full ferries.
Yeah.
But in 1976, it was one of those small little, it was 9 people.
It was a water taxi.
Yeah.
And they did it every year. It was just, I mean, you heard it in the episode, how like it was because of it. There was an inciting incident.
Yes.
Yeah.
A person, the people don't know the, when you're looking on Instagram, would you ever think like the Pines like looks like a gay Fantasia free-for-all,
right?
Okay.
Would you ever think that this was a closeted place?
No.
Yeah.
I think that's the most shocking takeaway.
Yeah.
I think that these Pines boys need to like learn the history.
Yeah. And especially like given that this was 1976, I mean like that's post Stonewall, and even like reading literature from that era, like that time, you wouldn't realize it was as causative as it was. Obviously, off the island was very causative, but you wouldn't expect in the Pines, it was like that at that point.
It's because the owner was was a closeted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's described as like a very picky gay.
Yeah.
But the fact that they are alive to tell the story, which there's not many people from their generation alive to tell any story, is just like amazing to listen to.
Yeah, I think that was really powerful. And just like, just the history of the entire thing is powerful. And then just even hearing the story about the invasion from the older lesbian in Cherry Grove.
She closes.
That was interesting just to have that perspective. Also, I think it's interesting to have you as a gay woman telling these stories because especially the Fire Island Pines stories, because I know you spend a lot of time there, but everyone associates that space less so now. I think I was even with friends the other day who were saying like, it feels different in even the past couple years than it did. Mm-hmm. But it's usually associated with like cis gay men, a lot of white cis gay men. So to hear this entire journey from your perspective, it is very interesting as well.
It's one of, I think, when I was waffling, when we went to dinner, like early, the three of us, I don't know if I had started it or maybe I'd committed to doing it, but I hadn't yet started the interviews.
You were telling us about it, but we were talking offline. I was so surprised that it dropped so quickly because when you were telling us about it, it felt like more of an idea.
Yeah.
So it seemed to have come around like really quickly.
I hadn't yet. I had the outline, like the episode outline, but I hadn't yet started recording. But this is what I'm going to say about, yes, you're right. The Pines does have, listen, on paper, it is relentlessly male.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. But this is, like, in doing this, I did realize, like, this is one of the very few pieces of media about Fire Island from the perspective of a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A gay woman, just a woman in general.
Yeah.
And so.
So, obviously, you also have hot takes and deep dives with an extended interview with DJ Lena Bradford, which is amazing. Explain to everyone, for those who have not listened to Hot Takes and Deep Dives, like, what goes on over there, yeah.
Oh, Hot Takes and Deep Dives. Yeah, it's basically like gay pop iconography and New York City culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just everyone that like people like you, you know, our generation, you know, a lot of Real Worlders. Sure. I have interviewed housewives. Like, listen, I started podcasting like in the Bravo space, and then Hot Takes was sort of born out of that.
Yep.
And you did you did Jill fairly recently, didn't you?
Oh my God.
And the Countess fairly recently as well.
I pitched Jill the most ridiculous, because I knew I had to pitch her like a concept, and I'm like, I want to do dating advice, but it's going to be like gay dating advice.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So she invoked AIDS, like an HIV in one, like, I'm like, nobody brought that up.
Yeah.
It's also wild. Jill recently was in Fire Island Pines doing John Hill's show, like his show about porn.
I know.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. While we're mentally out in Long Island, you're bringing to the table some Summer House filming news?
Yes.
Tell us.
A couple of things I want to just point out to you. First of all, it was your very own Amanda Petula's birthday.
Oh, of course I know that.
Did you notice that Hub House and Carlito both acknowledged the birthday?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Instagram stories, yeah.
Where were Paige and Sierra?
I did not notice anything from them, so I wonder, our alliance is shifting.
Do we? I think there's no way. I think, let me say it this way. There's a 100% chance that Kyle and Amanda will be at the wedding.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you go from being the officiant to not inviting the people that you officiated for? That would be a little crazy.
Yeah.
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 I didn't notice the Paige and Sierra stuff, but we were smiling from ear to ear that Hub House acknowledged.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, with Paige, it's hard because, like, I feel like her Instagram presence is so business-minded these days that, like, I'm not sure I put too much stock in like, one way or the other.
A lot of Amazon Live or Giggly Squad.
Like, we got to focus on, like, on top of, like, Amazon Live, Giggly Squad, also do birthdays. Like, she might just be like giving Amanda a hug instead, you know?
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Do we know anything about, I've been following, don't ask me why. Oh. I cannot defend this in any way.
Yeah.
But I do follow Corey Kiefer.
Mm. Oh.
I don't know why. He has not been in the Hamptons.
No. So he and Sam are like not part of cast, like maybe friend of.
Sam was definitely demoted. Rumor is Sam is friend of, and rumor is like people are implying that because of Corey's online activity, Bravo doesn't really want to deal with that.
Yeah.
I think they're both main on Winter House, so they're about to do a whole promotional round.
Oh yeah, because we have a winter in the can.
Yeah.
Yeah, Winter's coming.
Yeah, winter is coming. Wow. Okay. Yeah. No, I am glad. I really haven't dived deep into this, but it seems like we evened out the like men woman like ratio this summer, which I thought last year was like very striking. So I think that might be a turn in the positive direction.
Yeah, I saw photos of the two men who are allegedly joining. They look like doofuses, but like that's what we need.
That's what we need. We need doofuses. Okay. And from the Garden State, New Jersey.
Yeah, tell us.
Tell us what's going on.
Okay, so you know, has it been like officially announced that they're all back?
Yes, yeah. All back.
Okay, so the tea I know like firsthand, like this is like a breath away.
Okay, a breath
from
away.
Production and yeah. such. The production company wanted to fire four of the women.
Four? You might as well do a reboot.
Do we know which four?
I didn't follow up with that.
Okay.
But Bravo said, no, we pride, like Jersey, we're priding Jersey on not changing the cast, like ever.
Okay.
Like that's why Dolores has been there for 100 years.
Yeah.
And so all of the women had their network meetings this week.
Wait, okay. We haven't started filming yet?
No. They're starting filming on Monday.
Oh, you're right.
Or they're starting filming next week,
yeah.
But that may just early be August. Like pre-production. Yeah. I don't know when the women start, but I know that production starts next week.
No, I remember reading early August was when production was starting. Yes.
Because we wanted them to do the holidays.
Yeah. I don't like this whole half, like to start in August feels...
It's like what, back to school?
Back to school? Yeah. Like let's start after Labor Day, like Labor Day into Thanksgiving maybe. I would like that.
So apparently what was told to the women was, if you want to, said we want to keep you for the next like 2 to 3 years, keep it light, like keep it fun. Mm-hmm. We're going to do 2 to 3 more years with you. And then I think the plan, they're never getting rid of the way Teresa and Melissa story is going to end is they will eventually reboot it.
Yeah.
Same with like OC and right. like all oh, of sure, them. Sure, sure. But that's the way it. That's Bravo's plan, is to stick with this cast for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit of like studying capitalism in terms of like their paychecks keep growing, but the ratings are not growing. So like you need to kind of
Even things out.
You need to recast in order to like keep the show going, really.
Well, it's not necessarily that they don't naturally... like. Vanderpump Rules, do you know last year Vanderpump Rules, you know, they got paid like, they took a pay cut.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because they were told, this is your last season.
Sure.
Before everything happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And they took a severe pay cut.
Yeah, yeah.
And then.
Sure.
It's then the fame versus money conversation. And like, some of these people, it's their main source of income.
Yeah.
Most of them, I guess. But it's like.
But also they make it up. In
other things,
brand deals and ads,
and that's where the fame adds the money, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Jersey, love it. Okay.
The main events. Okay. Actually, we've got two main events in the news.
We got two main events in the news. One's a continuation from last week, which I was so high on the Jethany. Is that their portmanteau or whatever it's called?
That's their ship name.
Yeah, their ship name. Yes. The Jethany reunion. So last week we talked about Jill and Bethany's podcast episode where they hashed it out.
Mm-hmm.
And little did we know how much more content would be on the horizon.
Oh, the way Bethany has milked 5 podcast episodes, multiple YouTube videos out of this, it's wild.
Yeah. So did everyone listen to the Bethany and Jill Roni recap of episode 1?
I've listened to everything.
You've
listened
I have to everything. Too, yeah.
And I've watched... No, here's the question.
Oh, okay.
Have you guys watched Jill watching the YouTube video?
No.
Turning to Allie and mouthing, I love it.
Oh my God, this is so sick.
It's in an Instagram story. You have to watch it.
Oh my God, I have to find that.
She looks... It's like you would think Allie, you would think she just became a grandmother.
Mm. It's wild because, like, the very beginning of that YouTube video, like, Bethany's, like, kind of mean about her.
Oh, very mean, mean, manic, disheveled. And then I gotta say, Jill saunters in pre getting changed into that dress. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she needed to change. I thought she looked like
she looked amazing. She looked
fresh face. Fun.
But Bethany, it's Bethany's fault because Bethany kept on calling it a sweatsuit. And Bethany was being a bee about it.
She was being the bee in Bethany, yeah. Okay, the Roni recap gave me an actual headache that lasted 3 hours.
Oh my God.
Like, listening to the two of them talk about this, and like, I thought they would have something interesting and poignant to say, especially maybe because I had them on such a high horse after like, getting into it between the two of them, and then I realized that's not the case.
I think that if Jill had done it with someone else, it would have been nicer and she would have had more insightful things to say. I think Jill kind of, and Jill sounds, I thought, came across great in the first interview that they did.
The one-on-one about our lives.
Yes.
Yeah. The I crashed a funeral.
But I think Jill, while sitting there, drank the Kool-Aid / Bethany Diet Coke and wanted to be yes-anding with Bethany.
Okay, yeah.
I think I disagree with you guys.
Oh. Okay.
I much preferred the Roni recap to them. I didn't learn anything new in the first episode.
Okay.
With the Roni recap, I was glued.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was glued. My ears were glued.
So were you agreeing with their...
It wasn't that I was agreeing. I just found it all interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
I found that it was interesting. I thought it was interesting. Like, just, I don't agree with whatever they... But like, Bethany, of course, saying that she was the first person to bring the production to catch.
Okay.
Like, I enjoyed hearing that.
Sure.
I enjoyed her saying, oh, they bleeped it out too many times. Just her take on production,
okay.
I found interesting. I loved her sort of shading Jenna Lyons.
Mm.
Like, yeah. I just found it all interesting.
What did she say about Jenna again?
That she got the vibe that Jenna was embarrassed to be there.
Oh.
Yeah, which I think, like, is maybe half right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually thought, like, to your point, Brendan, like, Jill's perspective of, like, knowing that this was not the first footage they shot was helpful for her to know. But then her insistence that, like, we needed episode 1 and 2, and, like, she's calling this episode 3, I was like, actually, I think they lucked out by this being episode 1 because we're kind of just like jumping into it a little bit.
I think from her perspective, a housewife perspective, they always love to see like the moments with their families where they're being introduced, so like ridiculous. Their lives. And that's, I mean, of course, I like to see that stuff too, to an extent, but we don't need the grand introduction where we're getting like a 8-minute package of just Jill and Allie and Jill like
Gloria,
looking through
Bobby, yeah,
like. Jill looking through her mail, which literally was her first scene on Housewives where she was like showing the invitations.
Yeah. I mean, they were acknowledging that it has changed, but like while some of it has not changed for the better, I think some of it has changed for the better. Like, the first seasons of so many of these Housewives...
They're kind of unwatchable.
...are tough to watch. Like,
they're slow.
Until Beverly Hills, like, it's hard to recommend unless you're, like, a completionist.
Oh, so, I would argue Atlanta. The first episode is the Sheree Nene moment.
You're right. Atlanta is an exception to that rule. I think the other... like. Well, Jersey too is also really OC and New York are both tough for seasons. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think, I think it would be smart of Bethany to have she and Jill recap the whole season.
Yeah.
I think Bethany's going to do something where she drags Jill along. And I worry because Jill is going to get invested and think that they're best friends again.
And then get burnt again. Yeah.
Because I don't think Bethany has friends.
Yeah. Bethany just wants to do it for the attention that she is getting from doing it. She doesn't want to do it, like, because she cares about Jill.
Did you guys happen to see that Bethany was in Atlanta for work this week?
Oh.
Do we think there's a Bethany interviewing Nene? Sitch.
Oh, for a second, my first thought was, is Bethany getting a CNN show?
But I don't know that she would fly. They could just do that remote.
But I don't think she would want to do it remote. The way that, like...
Especially after, like, this.
Oh, because now you can milk the YouTube.
Yeah, and, like, her whole thing was, like, making her house, like, nice and making that green room.
I could be totally wrong about that, but she was in Atlanta for work. TBD, what that means.
Is that when she was fucking eating the crab legs in her hotel room?
Yes.
like a maniac.
Also, okay, so this has brought up a conversation where we know that Bethany is not allergic to shellfish. Mm. But I do want to say in this YouTube video, she mentions that she got the tuna sandwich when they got the sandwiches.
Wow. I always call bullshit on this like fish thing. As an proud allergic person.
Wait, what are you allergic to?
Cheese. Real bad. Yeah, like anaphylactic. Throat closing. I know, like, as an Italian, it's tough stuff for me to be allergic to cheese, but we carry on. But, like, it's a little too, like, willy-nilly. Like, I got these sushi platters. Like, I would not be fucking with
that. If I were allergic to any sort of fish, like, whether it be seafood or I would just stay away.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I don't understand, and I hate to, like, be a conspiracy theorist about an allergy, even though I was for 7 years with Dan.
until you saw it.
Until I saw it in person. but, yeah, makes you think.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people, I think, either to pretend for attention, or some people, if they don't like a food, will say they're allergic to it, because then the response from, like, from waitstaff should be like, oh, well, then I will make sure you do not have it. But it's like, but then if everyone is saying that, then waitstaff is like, oh, then who's allergic to anything? Like, yeah.
But she had an allergic reaction on the show, remember?
Yeah, but was that an allergic reaction?
But it could have been, like, a specific type of fish that's not just all, because, like, tuna is not shellfish.
Yeah, there's no shell around that tuna.
I don't know.
Okay. Do we want to talk about the unionizing thing?
Wait, can I just bring back the crab boil?
Oh, yeah, yeah, please.
Yeah.
What's more, okay, in the galaxy of insane things we've seen Bethany, like, document herself doing, I've always put documenting Cookie's death on Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. That's
which
okay.
I remember where I was.
Okay, oh, yes, yes,
yes.
I...
Watching that.
I remember where I was, too. Yeah.
I was in a car in the Hamptons. It was like the summer of whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember where I was watching that live.
Yeah.
What is more, I still think the death of Cookie probably, this crab oil thing is right below that.
I think Hello Kitty pajamas is in the pantheon of that as well.
think of what it takes to do, like, this crab boil moment. It's like so first of all, think she's staying at a hotel. When I'm in a hotel, I want to get, like, an easy thing that's not going to make my experience in the hotel miserable, where I'm smelling it the rest of the day.
But you could always, like, take the trash out.
Okay, but fish. We had this argument about fish recently too. Wow. No, but then you're bringing these bags into your hotel room. Where are you eating them? I guess on the desk.
Well, no, but you famously, so Brendan loves, if he's, like, staying in a hotel, to get, like, the double room and have eating bed and sleeping bed.
Wait.
I'm going to throw up.
No, this is different. Okay, this is different.
Was Bethany on the eating bed?
But, like,
that's the question you should ask.
But, like,
yourself.
Also, it's different than eating, like, a chicken finger on the eating bed than a crab boil. Bags of claws.
Slobbering all over herself.
Usually, like, when you do this, you go
if
to,
you're
like,
you're wearing a bib. Yeah. It's gone too far.
Usually you go to this, you do this, you are wearing a bib at a restaurant.
Over newspaper.
Like, you go to, like, some place, like, the local place here is, like, the Shaking Crab. I'm always seeing people with these bags outside of there.
Oh, my God.
But,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. We should go to Brooklyn Crab.
I love Brooklyn Crab. Oh, my God. One of my favorites.
It's a date. Anyways, I think what else did you have to say about the clam boil?
Oh, okay.
No, I was just where it ranks.
Where is it?
Yeah,
yeah. But do you guys remember watching Cookie?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
R.I.P.
We might have been together, actually. Or at least together that day.
Oh, yeah. Was it the middle of the night, though? Like, was she?
It was late. It was like a 9 o'clock.
Then we were together the next day talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, videos were still up and we were, like, replaying it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's briefly touch on Bethany wanting to unionize.
Oh, my God.
Well, so, I mean, she's making a very valid argument.
Of course.
Like, I'm I was paid $7,250 for my first season, and you guys re-air it around the clock, and I don't get a dime from that, and everyone gets taken advantage of, and I was one of the few people to, like, break the mold and start a business and become successful. But then, I don't know if you guys saw this, there was something this week, like, someone revealed, like, a proposed contract or, like, for, like, a show she was producing, and it was, like, insane terms.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, oh, you've actually been on both sides of this, really.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's also, like, I think this is a conversation we should be having.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it's also, the timing is, like, sus as far as, like, when she wants to have it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she wants to have this conversation because we are all talking about striking.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe the word isn't sus for me, but it's like she's
opportunistic.
Like, she wants to be Fran Drescher, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She wants to be the Fran Drescher of the Reality Guild.
And maybe, I'm not saying she should be, maybe she hands it off to somebody else in the space.
Garcelle.
Yeah.
Like an actress who is now a reality star.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That'd be perfect.
Or I loved when the old SAG-AFTRA person was Gabrielle, what's her name?
From Cardieris or something?
Who played Andrea on 90210.
Andrea Zuckerman. Yeah,
so yeah. Like maybe we get someone from old school real world to be the reality union head. Genesis.
Danny Roberts.
Danny Roberts.
Wow.
And you can make that happen.
You can make that happen. Okay. We talked about Jill and Bethany, the podcast sensation.
The other blockbuster moment.
The other blockbuster moment that was and like I think properly teased, like Carlos King prepared us for Nini's arrival.
Yes.
And we have two parts. As of recording, only part one has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if part two is dropping like Friday or Tuesday of next week.
I think it's Tuesday.
Okay, so you might have like more time to catch up before part two drops. I have been down on Nini for years, since she like came back a famous woman in Hollywood.
After Ryan Murphy,
like Ryan Murphy ruined her for Atlanta. So I've been down on her since then. This was like the most I've liked her since pre-Ryan Murphy.
Right. Invoking Ryan Murphy a lot.
Yeah.
There were a lot of interesting tidbits that came out of it.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting hearing about Cynthia and how Nini claims that Cynthia, and I haven't listened to the two T's where Cynthia responds, so so we're not doing our complete homework yet, but I think that actually dropped when we were having dinner, so it's like we were already talking.
I saw the notification pop up on Brandon's phone. I'm like, oh, your two T's is here.
But yeah, she claims that Cynthia had an alliance with production against Nini.
Yeah.
Which to me seems wild. She had a lot to say about Kenya, too.
Yeah. There seemed to be more respect for Kenya than I would have imagined. Would you say that or no?
Yeah. I think she was saying that Kenya, she was annoyed by Kenya when she came in, but Kenya is now needed or necessary for the show.
So I think she pivoted. Once Carlos King said Portia and Kenya revitalized the show, up until that point, she was like down on Kenya. And then once he said that, she was just like, okay, forget it. Like, okay, I respect Kenya, like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She came off really funny. And there was like a similar delusion to her as to Bethany and Jill of like not liking all these like iconic moments that occurred where it's like, no, I know you didn't like it like from your point of view, but it's good that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Sheree not on the list thing, even though she like says that put it on the map, like she's saying like, oh, she shouldn't have done that. It's like, no, she should have done that.
Yeah.
That's where we're at today because of that.
Yeah. I mean, Sheree was the first housewife producer.
Like, she's complaining about twirl, like when Kenya went on her twirl.
And it's like, tirade. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, these are, like, just because it wasn't your thing doesn't mean it's not a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she does still have, like, obviously, and she has a deserved pretty, like, big head from being, like, the most, like, gift and memed housewife of all time.
Yeah. It does she didn't like outwardly say it, but it felt like the money could be an issue.
Yeah. Well, what has she been doing aside from literally like Lenithia Lounge, which...
Well, also,
I would think the issue is like, isn't she completely broken with Andy?
Oh, well,
okay. There's no repairing that relationship, well, is there?
I don't know if we ever got resolution to her lawsuit against the network and Andy. Mm-hmm.
They teased that conversation for the second episode of this series. Yeah.
So I think as much as she might be trying to like have this revival tour, like I don't think it will be with Bravo. And it's hard to imagine after suing a network and a producer and this, like, who wants to work with you after you do that?
Yeah, I mean, like, I could see potentially Carlos doing something with her. Is he still working on those shows on OWN?
The Love and Marriage. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for her to be doing this podcast with him because, like, yeah, if he's still producing, it's someone that she could potentially work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we, speaking of Atlanta, go into Atlanta?
Sure.
We're still in Portugal.
We're in Portugal. We're crying about the 100,000, not 100.
It's 1,000.
You would think it's $100,000. Drew is being sued for $1,000.
What is, like, Jess, think about that. And like, think about, I'm not somebody with like any money and I'm like, I'll just pay it and go.
Well, because here's the thing. The lawyer will cost more than $1,000.
Of course.
Yeah.
So why would you hire a lawyer? But okay, so Drew's saying like, we've already given this woman money and now she's suing me. So it's like, when does it stop? Like she thinks she needs to fight it out in order to.
And to the other woman's credit, I will say they're like, Kenya's like, let's just make it go away. And yeah, they're like willing to like help her like make it go away.
There's eight of us here. $1,000 divided by eight is like 100, like, $15 each.
Yeah, it's wild. But then it comes out that there's more. And this is where we're like starting to get into her husband's like infidelity again, allegedly.
Yeah.
That we're going to hear about. And then it's not even getting into like her stuff yet.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. Like, so Drew's crying and doing all this. And Candy's like, and scene. And meanwhile, like Candy is hiring her to be an actress in Todd's film. So it's kind of like, yeah, you want the actress, right?
Yeah. But it's like Candy's just so over this show at this point, which is why like Atlanta's in such like a weird place. It's like Candy's over it. Kenya's half in, half out.
Yeah.
Sheree's doing whatever.
I don't think Sheree is like still good for the show.
Unfortunately. And she was always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's...
Candy was good on Watch What Happens Live with...
Erin.
Erin.
Yeah, I did not watch that yet. How did that go?
It was good. I liked it.
Okay. Yeah. And she was like, she was being like fun with Erin, I feel.
She clearly had not seen the Roni premiere.
None of these women watch the other franchises. Yeah. Yeah.
Except there are like a few...
Fans
here and there. You know, I feel like...
But it's more like the Vanderpumps and the kids watch the adult
shows. Oh, yes. Well, the kids watch the adult shows on the actual show itself. Like, we've seen Beverly Hills on a TV.
And we've seen your Amanda Bettula watching Housewives.
Yes, yeah.
I think Bettula is watching OC.
Bettula's watching OC.
And Lala was watching Beverly Hills.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, so Kenya falls, like slips on the wet exit to the hotel.
Yeah.
Rush to the hospital. Mind you, we've just been to the hospital with Kenya like five episodes ago.
Yeah, and Candy goes with her. So we're actually like losing our two headlining stars for a lot of this episode.
So Candy's sick for the first day of Portugal and has to go to the hospital with Kenya for day two.
Yeah.
Now, I got to say, Marlo's comment about Candy going to the hospital with Kenya was so funny to me because, like, they're there for 8 hours. When Marlo says, Candy needs to know someone. Like, this is where you need to be worldwide. Candy's just blending into the background.
Wasn't Manetta, like, Don't they have like a VIP line?
Oh my God, yeah. So mine is like, you need to go up there and be like, we have a VIP here at the hospital.
And that's actually like, if you think about like, Moneta last week revealed that she like owns an orphanage. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. That's kind of disturbing. Mm-mm. If you put those two things next to each other.
We need to, the VIPs need to be taken care of. I like that. I mean, this was in the preview, but the rabbits BBL was fun for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use that like fake Moneta Sonia thing for the preview before the commercial break.
Oh, they did a fake. They went to a painting poet, like pottery class.
Oh,
thing,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Which is like a paint and sip that you can do anywhere in the US.
Yeah.
I'm sure it had more meaning, and I'm probably like being an asshole here.
Yeah.
But it, and then they like pretended to get into like a fake fight. They were like commenting on how when Candy and Kenya are away, we all get along. And then they like, staged a fake fight and then they tried to like bait us in the preview into thinking that it was gonna be a real fight. Yeah. And it just was.
Yeah, not. They were just acting. Yeah. I Courtney's little sit down with Drew, I think it was, when she's like, karma came for Kenya, like this is what happens when you act like this, and Drew being like, I gotta get out of here.
I think the one like actual notable thing that might make the rest of this season interesting is that at the end of the episode, when official Bravo cameras go down
at 11:47,
then which like keep them up, and we have Marlo iPhone footage, and it is Candy arguing with Drew about what went down in the Bolo house two seasons ago.
Oh.
This is the one part of the episode I saw.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and yeah, yeah. And Candy's matter-of-factly saying that Drew made out with LaToya, who's no longer on the show.
Yes.
And Drew's denying it. And it's like, at this point,
Marlo's saying 80% I did see them kiss. And the 20% just being like, Drew's confusing me.
No, but I think that's propelling us into the rest of the season where in the previews we get this whole storyline where Drew, I think on, is it on the set of the movie where she meets this person?
I don't know.
Because she plays like a queer woman in this movie, right?
Maybe. Yeah. Is that where that footage is from? Yeah, from the movie.
I think it might be the co-star.
Okay. We also have present day, they're filming the reunion as we record this.
Yeah.
Which normally I care about seating, but like I truly, like it doesn't matter. Like,
I mean, obviously Drew's in the chair next to Andy, which means that they're banking on the last half of the season being like the stuff that people are going to be talking about.
Is it even half, like last third of the season?
Last third of the season, yeah.
I hope. But then like Sheree getting prime real estate next to Andy?
It's like they don't know who to put where because there's nothing happening.
Yeah.
It's sad how the mighty have fallen.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Should we move on to New York, New York?
New York, the new New York.
Okay, so while we have you here, Jess, and I know you've told this story, but I want you just to give a little brief synopsis on the Jenna Lyons casting and like kind of...
I told it here.
I know you did, but like just a reminder
that
like you and some of your friends kind of put...
She would not be on Roni if I was not alive.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the bottom line.
Okay. Yeah. So y'all can go back to the episode where Jess co-hosted with me to learn the full story of that moment.
But Jess had a hand in it. Yes. And so we have you to thank, really, because I do think...
It was a collaborative effort between myself, one of my best friends, Carolyn, who hosts, well, the podcast doesn't exist anymore, but it was called Diking Out, and she got Jenna to do a live Diking Out. This was like last winter, and I was there, and it was right after my interview with Luann, where I got Luann agreeing that there should be a lesbian housewife. Yes. And I was saying like a lesbian or like a trans housewife. This was before they announced the split, the Roni split in Legacy. And later that week, it was just like days later, we were, you know, hanging out, doing the thing with Jenna Lyons. Well, they were hosting it, but like I, you know, was with Jenna, you know, we were all talking to her. And my friend, she was saying she wanted to do, they were talking about Stylish with Jenna Lyons.
Yes.
And which, as I call it, is the rich man's big shot with Bethany.
Of course.
Neither show can be found any longer.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, so Jenna said she wanted to do a reality version of the L Word.
Mm.
And I think it may have even been in that moment that my friend kind of like threw to me and said like, well, do you watch The Real Housewives of New York? She was like, yeah. She said, well, my friend interviewed Countess Luann and Countess Luann said that she would love to have a lesbian. She's like, I'm down.
Wow.
That was, I'm putting the pieces back together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then like they went on a show, this guy, Eric Williams, who was wonderful, and they talked more about it. And then when they announced the Roni split, I had my friends who did that, who hosted that live show on, and we recapped everything. And I put that clip on YouTube with like the headline was like, Jenna Lyons wants to join Roni. Yeah. And that made the round.
What was interesting was that the rumored cast of Roni was essentially all the women who ended up on the cast, but Jenna was not on the list of the rumored and then like was announced at BravoCon.
Listen to me. When my friend is close with her former assistant and also her makeup artist. They text.
Sure. Okay.
We had no idea.
Mm.
Yeah.
When she came out at BravoCon or whatever it was announced, we didn't watch it live. Whenever that happened, there was an emergency.
Yeah.
There was an emergency. It was like everything stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember where I was. I was
at dinner
and I was going to be going to the last Watch Happens Live that was taped the same night. Yeah. And I was like, I couldn't talk about anything else at dinner. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Weren't you talking to like bartenders about it?
Was I?
I remember listening to you guys saying that you were like talking to like anybody. Waiters.
No, the waiter. I was like, anyone
do you know Jenna Lyons? Do you care about this?
Wow.
So that's the backstory.
Okay.
But now we're here.
But now we're here and we're heading to the Hamptons. A hop, skip, and a jump from Fire Island.
It's true. Yeah. Actually... Pro tip. The best, if you're into, I mean, it's the rare person that wants the Fire Island and the Hamptons experience, but that person, I do enjoy that. Yeah. It's the best way to break up the drive.
Hmm. Now, is that because, which it's is on closer? The way.
Fire Island is closer.
Yeah, right.
But if you don't want to drive, it depends where you are out in the Hamptons, but like if you're coming all the way, it is a good... It's a way to get a lot of different experiences.
Okay, so from where you would drive to Fire Island to the Hamptons, like how long is that part of the drive?
Which part of the Hamptons?
Like Sag Harbor where they are.
Oh, yeah, Sag Harbor.
That's like a good, it's like an hour without traffic.
That's not bad.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So do I need to bring 8 bags to
Fire Island?
No. To Fire Island, yes. To the Hamptons, no.
Okay. This for
no, I'm
me,
kidding. You know, of course, it's all
with Psy was so performative, and it's like we're still early on in her tenure where it's like
I have so much to say.
Okay, go.
I think I like started it last week, and now like the fact that we're getting even deeper into it now is like really really scratching the itch for me. I feel like if you follow her, doesn't this like destroy the fantasy?
Right.
Like, isn't it like you're, I'm following you and like, look at your, your beautiful, like, chic life.
I'm a mom.
And it's literally, I'm doing this, I'm able to do this because I'm doing it, because I'm getting, like, the free clothes that I'm being loaned, and I'm, like, putting together all this, but, like, it's all just to make content.
Right. So you're saying that, like, people who give her the free clothes and stuff like this won't necessarily want to see, like, how the sausage is made, so they're not going to want to see the garment bags be put into the car,
yeah,
and all that?
Am I crazy to think that?
Well, I don't know.
I really do not understand the mentality of, like, following an influencer.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, like, what am I getting out of that? To, like, be cool like you?
But I don't understand why somebody would follow Paige DeSorbo either. Okay.
I mean, I'll admit a lot of times I'm like tap, 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 tap. Cause like, I don't care about so like tapping through the stories.
Mm, oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not tapping like hearts.
I'm like, you're hearting.
No. I'm not hearting anything.
No, if it's Allison Roman, he's hearting everything. Tagging her every other day.
Oh my God. Well, if anyone's influencing me.
Well, no, but that's interesting. There's also different kinds of influencers. So it's like, like size, like a fashion / mom influencer, but their Paige is like an influencer who's like doing fashion, but also has a podcast.
Okay.
Allison's an influencer who is a chef.
Food.
Yeah, food. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I at least I could like get a meal out of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let me ask you guys this question. As compared to the premiere, which did you prefer, the premiere or this?
This?
The premiere, I think I was like just trying to be positive, but I was enjoying it. But I was just, I don't think, but this like actually sent me to the moon.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
I was neither here nor there with the premiere. It wasn't good and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It just was. It did. The only thing that was interesting to me was Jenna.
Okay.
And I did like Erin. I felt Erin jumped off the page.
Yeah, she did. She did.
The rest, I honestly like couldn't care less about.
Yeah.
But now that like we're in a setting, and also, like Brendan, I've been lucky enough to be able to see the third episode.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like these two episodes, I know where I am.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm beginning to understand the women, and especially because you're just getting them alone. I think I really do enjoy them when you're just in a house and it's not cutting between different people and the in-laws and the kids and the kid with the
Sure.
It's focused and you can really get to the core of like what makes them tick.
Yeah. I mean, Erin hosting all these women, it's magical. Like,
that house is beautiful.
It's beautiful. And all the women shitting on it left and right. Shitting on it to the extent that they need to bring toilet paper to shit on it.
But aren't they doing that because they're doing Housewives?
So I came up with a theory that Psy, to the most extent, and then Uba, to some extent, are putting on a show.
Yeah.
But like Uba's show, I want to watch. Psy, I'm like, you are putting on a show.
Uba's show is lighthearted.
Yeah.
Psy's show is coming with the side of like a little more snark and bite.
Yeah. In my ranking, I have those two. And then I feel like Jessel and Jenna are just being like genuine. Awful people's not the right word, but like difficult people.
They're just very particular in their own ways. That's actual quirk to their actual personality and not like put on.
Why was Jessel cast?
I'm glad she was.
Really?
I think she fits in. She's a type of housewife we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
She's causing conflict accidentally because of her own quirks and her apartment's beautiful.
I mean, the like
Jessel.
Yeah. Jessel.
Okay. Just like really.
Okay. No, running around in that heinous lingerie, like throwing a fit. I was laughing and laughing. It was so ill-fitting. And I saw the picture of like a model wearing it. Like these are two different outfits. And then how mean she was being about it to Jenna. And Jenna's just like making her face. I'm like actually crying thinking about it.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Uba, provisions, running to leaving the house to go to provisions.
Let me, first of all, there's no, they must have known that it was closed. There's no way, Provisions is like, whatever. If you want to pay like $10 for a bottle of water, it's a health food store.
Yeah.
It's a small market. There's no way that's, they're obviously filming during a weekday. They don't film on the weekends.
Yeah.
It's not open at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday or Tuesday or a Wednesday in November.
Yeah, I even
Googled, we know this.
I Googled it today and it's summertime and it closes at 6 p.m. So it's like,
what Uba and her compass at dinner wanting to sit at True North.
I want to get your take on the stealing of the
coconut cream.
Yeah. I felt like you'd have strong thoughts on that.
Oh, I mean, I do think this was like a little anticky, but like, I don't know. For some reason, like with her, like I'm like along for the ride. Mm-hmm. Like if Sai did it, I think I would have been annoyed for some reason. Cause like Sai's not selling it.
Uba's got like this charisma where she can get away with things. Yeah. I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the way she just like jumped in there and was like hugging the chefs was charming to me a little bit.
You know, we've been to Topping Rose quite a few times.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In our previous life.
Yeah. In our previous life. Our previous life. But I'm like seeing it in a new light now, you know?
Can I want to say something about the reboots as they continue to reboot.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a smart move just in sort of like looking to the future.
Oh.
Lose the taglines.
Oh, okay.
What are they additive?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're agreeing, or yeah, they're
additive. No, yeah, they're additive.
Oh.
Yeah. Like the Brynn one, it's just like something stupid.
But they're so, first of all, the women can't, they're not even allowed to choose their own tagline.
I know.
Yeah.
And the producers or the whoever is doing it, they can't even write decent ones.
Yeah.
It just adds like a little bit of camp. Like this could be like a more, like this version of Roni could be like a little bit more of a serious show and like a little too sleek. And this adds like a little bit of camp that I think like brings us in a little bit.
Brings us down to earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other question people are asking is, had they not called this The Real House, had they not called this Roni?
Yeah.
And if this was like a Real Girlfriends of Paris, would anybody be watching?
Well, as the two people who watch Real Girlfriends of Paris, I hope so.
I hope people would have been watching. I don't know. I mean, I do think the Jenna Lyons,
that cements it as a Roni. Yeah.
Was like,
Can I make a prediction? Yeah. I just want to get all these thoughts.
No, I love it. Yeah.
I predict possibly as soon as next year. Mm. I think Lindsay Hubbard is going to join the team.
Well, she is a peer of Brynn and Aaron.
I think Summer House is going to shut down, and I think she's going to be the first one to jump.
Oh my God. That would be so monumental.
It
like New York City?
Like New York City.
It would be unbelievable.
Would love to see it. What did you think about the caviar and the Pringles and the spread that Aaron put out? And do you think it was enough of a spread for this time? Because there's been a great debate.
Okay.
They're arriving around 4 p.m.
And we're going to dinner.
Dinner's at 7 p.m.
I could have used a little crudite.
There was a little crudite.
I saw like a woman like massaging a broccoli head.
And like a carrot.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't think we need a full like
burger
spread.
I don't think we need sliders,
but I think like some like hummus, a pita chip, like chips and salsa.
Well, there were chips and the caviar was on it.
Yeah, sure. sure, but like something a little bit, because caviar is obviously not for everyone.
A little
now these chic women, it's for everyone.
Well, no, it's three of them don't like it.
Yeah.
Three out of the five.
I can't believe Brynn's not here. And it does not feel empty, the room.
I really liked Brynn in the premiere. Yeah. She's actually one that's jumping off the page.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm enjoying her. Yeah. There's some that I'm not enjoying, like Jessel, like
sure.
She really, I just don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
Brynn I really liked, but I also didn't really notice she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a lot of times, especially like during the COVID seasons, we'd be in a room of just a few women and I'd be like, you'd hear the echoes in the room.
Yeah.
But this felt like a full room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, wait, Jenna going home.
Oh, Jenna going home.
Can yeah. I tell you, if my house was, we don't see, the thing is we don't know where Jenna's house is.
Okay. She said like 15 minutes, I think.
God, I want to know where her house, I believe, I've spent the week.
We know you want to know.
It's not for lack of trying. It's not out there. It's not out there. But I would have gone home I want to sleep in my bed too.
Yeah. I mean, if your bed's there in close proximity, sure. But like, we're filming a show. Like, you got to like bite the bullet.
And like,
bring your pillow if you need something like from home.
Her sneaking out too. I mean, I do like that Aaron went from like when Jenna was walking in the next morning being like, I'm kind of mad. Maybe that was in the preview for next week's episode.
Yeah, there was a 6-minute preview.
Yeah. But then like, I feel like they figure it out.
Back to Jessel for just one moment. They showed pictures of Jessel and her husband from 2013.
Oh.
And she looked like 22 years old there. Like, didn't the pictures look like they were from college or something? Like, that was very jarring to me. Like, I feel like a picture of me from, like, 2013 wouldn't look like that crazy, crazily different.
Yeah, a little different. You just posted one from 2013.
I did. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not an expert on postpartum and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, to, like, be like, you need to be fucking your man, like, after she went through, like, a difficult IVF experience. Well, and, like,
that IVF plus C-section, which, like, C-section, like, takes more time to recover from, like, a vaginal birth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just was like, leave her alone.
It reminded me a little bit, not to go back to it, we talked about it on Just Like That in the pre-show, which if you're not listening, you really should subscribe.
You're only getting half the story.
You're only getting half the story, and it really, truly is one of the highlights of my week as a consumer of the product.
Oh my God, thank you.
Thank you.
In and Just Like That this week, Charlotte, it's like she just broke up with Che. I'm talking about Miranda.
Yeah.
Charlotte pressuring Miranda to like pick a sexuality and like move on. Where's your next woman?
Yeah.
But was that's crazy. That's so Charlotte though.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was very this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed though.
Why don't we wrap up New York and enjoy crappy hour? Crappy half hour, actually.
Yes.
Which is like kind of jarring. I'm like, I'm sitting down and then it's like over in a few minutes.
And then you're standing up.
And then I'm standing up.
We're truly in like 4 separate events in this episode. And it's only 30 minutes long. It's
22 minutes.
Yeah, 22 minutes. But I really enjoyed it.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
If I ever have like an injury, I want Luann as my nurse.
I'm going to spring into action.
Twice. Twice.
Luann times in 22 minutes.
I may be completely insane, but I find Luann to be very calming. Yeah. To me, she's a calming am I like nuts?
No.
I think Luann is very everything in this franchise. Like, she is very calming, very nursing.
Very sexy, very chic,
very funny.
Very can get down and grab the crappy from the lake. That's what they're called, right?
I think they're like crappies or something. Oh, okay. But it's like crappy. But we're gonna have crappy hour in the lawn.
I really enjoyed. I like when somebody takes an empty space and like gets it together. So like them like putting down like that rug and like some throw pillows.
It was like looking so shitty, but then once everyone arrived, it actually looked halfway decent.
I think also a big thing about this kind of situation is like lighting. And so there was like, I think there was like some string lights. Add some string lights anywhere.
Oh, gorgeous. It's a wedding.
Please. Okay. We have like a bunch of callbacks. We have like interns not getting paid. We have a Harry Dubin callback this episode.
His boxers, yeah.
When just like there's so many like quick little moments that are nothing. When Sonia's on her phone and she's like, oh, I gotta post this liposuction thing or I'm not gonna get paid.
Can I say something? Yeah. I shouldn't. I'm gonna fucking say, maybe we can cut it out.
Oh, okay.
So you know, okay, that's my ex's company. My ex is the VP of sales of that company. Because she mentioned it. She she mentioned it under her breath when she was on Watch What Happens Live.
Oh, oh my God.
And I heard it because it's like hearing.
Yeah, of
like,
course. Yeah.
I lived with this company.
Wow. Mention it all.
Wow.
It's up to you. You tell me if you want to.
Will it get me another follower?
That's all I care. That's so Bethany.
There it is. I'll just sell my life story. I'll just sell myself.
The testicle festival.
Oh,
my God, I just said it like her. I didn't even mean to say it like her, like Sohn, but it just like comes out that way.
Yeah. Would you eat a testicle?
No.
I mean, I was like gagging watching, but I was like watching with my coffee, which is like not like the time to be like considering the testicle.
Not the palate.
Yeah.
You the
don't
taste
wanna,
palate.
You don't want to pair it with a coffee either.
No, you paste it with, you pair it with like a cold beer, I think.
Yeah, I think the beer would help. I think like a dipping sauce would help.
What kind of dipping sauce? Oh, like a chipotle mayo.
A buffalo.
Ooh. Ew, buffalo testicles. I mean, that actually sounds good.
Does it?
I mean, like they were saying, all fried food kind of tastes the same at the end of the day.
Chicken nugget adjacent, right? I don't know. Wow.
When Sonya chicken said, nugget adjacent.
When Sonya said, I thought you girls were doing a wet t-shirt contest. And the woman responds, this is my niece. There's like it is a phone show, but like if you're looking at your phone, you could easily miss like 10
so
things.
So much, yeah.
High tea. How do they fit so many scenes this episode?
I know, the four good scenes.
The high tea.
And like,
I loved that.
Oh my God.
The moment that, what was the kid's name?
Oh,
like
my God.
Not Alec, but like the waiter that they zoned in on because they knew. Yeah.
Levi, maybe? Was that his name? I don't know. And then he comes and performs. King. Wow. But then the contortionist.
Getting stuck.
Oh my God.
Was
that just like a trick?
I couldn't tell if like that was part of the bit or.
I think it was a bit.
But he looked a little like.
Luann could not pop a thing back into.
No, she could.
She can do anything.
She can do anything. I love her.
Oh, wow, crappy.
Yeah, crappy. I mean, we don't need to stay on it too much just because it's like not that deep, but it's good. Mm-hmm. The lake's not that deep.
It's good. It's good. Okay, Jess, we're going to go into the waters of Orange County, which is a show you're not super familiar with.
I've seen very few frames. I've seen a couple frames of Orange County in my day.
Yeah. Just two frames of Orange County. I wonder what those frames are. What's your like point of reference going in?
Like, what would you say, like, what was an iconic Orange County moment?
I know about the family van.
Oh, of course. Everyone knows.
And I know that Tamara Judge is hot.
Yeah, she is.
And I love them both on... Rugged. Dorinda's Haunted
Mansion.
The House of Horrors. So I was into this episode. I honestly fast forwarded through everything. Yeah. I could not sit through it. I can't sit through these women.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you bring, I'm so happy I'm here for the return of Vicky.
Yes, yes.
The original music.
Oh, yeah.
I got chills. And I hate this show.
You got chills as a hater. I love it. Wow. Yeah. No, let's talk about the Vicky. Even though it's end of episode, but like...
This is what it's about.
This is what it's about.
This is why we're here.
What it's about. So she is coming back as a caricature of herself, and I'm not mad about it.
It's a little... I think it's like the right flavor in terms of a little tail between the legs.
Yeah.
Like...
I mean...
What is the problem that they won't bring her back full time?
So...
They might. They might eventually.
When they demoted her to friend of, which was now several years ago, she kind of had a major, major, major meltdown at the reunion where she was like on a tirade yelling at producers, yelling at everyone.
Like, this is my show.
This is my show. And like screaming at the top of her lungs. And I assume that might have something to do with it. And then I think she left the show. She was like, I'm never going to return. And then I think the Ultimate Girls Trip opened the door to her being included more on Bravo. And I think she likes being relevant.
And she did another Rugged.
Why was she fired to begin with?
The show is getting stale.
Okay. Probably, I'm sure, paycheck as well.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're being paid the most and, like, bringing the show down, it's like two wrongs are not making a right there.
She is like one of the more stubborn housewives to ever exist, I think.
Yeah.
And I think it just becomes difficult and it not worth it. And if you can like try to recast with more favorable people, then they do that.
And the vibe she was bringing to this was like, I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
Not even concerned about her friend Shannon when Shannon runs off to Video Village.
Okay.
The little like,
and then, what'd you say? And then there was one. Okay. The return of Kennedy. So you do watch Beverly Hills.
Of course.
So you know Kennedy.
The daughter of. Yes.
From season one. Of course. Kennedy's Tea Party. Mm-hmm. And here we are 12 years later.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I interviewed. Oh my God. Why is her name escaping me?
Taylor
Armstrong?
Taylor. I interviewed Taylor before she was cast on Girls Trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never release the video because she was doing it like in her closet and she looked like a hostage victim. Like it was not helping the case of like my life is like I'm like breaking out of my.
Taylor's next chapter.
It was not giving Taylor's next chapter.
Yeah.
It is interesting the places people podcast from.
So yeah, I think that actually kind of speaks to, like, I don't think she is in great control of her image during this return to television.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't really have, she clearly doesn't really have, like, a team around her, like, guiding her and coaching her. We're kind of just, like, going with the flow.
She's going with the flow. I think
she's just a friend of. Well, how would she have a team?
Yeah.
To be honest, like the fact that she had her daughter on this episode, I was kind of like, why are you a friend of? Like, you are showing your life. Mm-hmm.
And she's really in the mix. Like, she's at most of the filmings.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think maybe she just, like, when they cast her, they announced it as a friend of thing and they just, like, went with it.
Yeah.
It was interesting them pulling the Beverly Hills footage, though, for, like, our intro back to Kennedy. And then we got the other Beverly Hills footage about the cotton candy moment.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I say. There's no way. Like, that is not that iconic of a moment. This is what I want to say. The OC women have no idea what she's talking about.
Yeah. There must be a moment, like, right after she said that where she has to explain what she's talking about.
I think a producer told her to say that.
Yeah.
I don't even think she remembers that.
And then they showed the video of it, and then there's, like, Mauricio looking kind of creepy.
Mm. I noticed that as well.
Yeah.
Well, she was with Jen with two N's, who, like, who might not really even, like, know the full history of, like, all the shows, despite being, like, a fan of Tamara's.
Yeah.
And Shannon, who I don't think pays close attention to the pantheon.
I think only really cares about herself, but that's why we love her.
Yeah, that's why we love her. Well, okay. We had Gina with the return of Kelly Dodd's twin.
Yes. So Gina's ex-husband, Matt, is dating a Kelly Dodd lookalike, which is wild. Like, they look
truly recast.
Like. Yes.
We got Emily Schittstering. Like, pinning. Okay, so Shannon talks negatively about her relationship with John Jansen to Heather off camera.
Right.
Heather off camera, right? Off camera.
Off camera.
Mentions it to Emily.
Yeah.
Now, Emily on camera is bringing up to Tamara that Heather's being a bad friend because she's talking about Shannon's relationship troubles and blah, blah, blah. But, like, the bad friend is you for bringing it onto our television screens.
Yeah, this will be an interesting reunion conversation because it's like Shannon will be team Tamara and Emily here. I just know it.
But Heather would be the right person.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
Can't wait to see how that plays out. So we have that big like slip and slide pool party with like everyone gets to bring a friend too.
Yeah, and like all the blondes are bringing a brunette and all the brunettes are bringing a blonde, which is fun. Diversity in OC.
Yeah, that's our diversity. We get to meet like the third member of Tres Amigas 2.0, Tamara, Jen,
And other Heather.
And other Heather. And that, like, other Heather sit down with Jen, where, like, women just, like, kept piling on. It felt like that one Kylie Minogue video where, like,
all the
where, like, everyone, like forms into, like, a big pyramid. Like,
yeah.
We were doing, like, all the lovers cosplay there.
Great tune.
It really was wild because, like, the women who were actually full-time on the show were looking at the people who aren't on the show being
get off.
There's cameras on them. We need to get in there.
But it almost felt like we can't have, like, there was, like, one brunette who was, like, really sitting, like, at the center.
Yeah, and it's like, get out of here.
Who are you? Get out of here. You have nothing to do with us. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, any other thoughts about Vicky, Jess?
I love her. I want to see more of her.
I think Tamara revealed 5 episodes we're going to get with Vicky.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bravo was posting, like, teasers of an interview that Tamara did that where Tamara was saying, like, I think she should come back next season. So for Bravo to post that interview, who knows?
So also, Vicky's not a friend.
No, she's just a guest.
But she had a confessional.
Yeah.
Guests don't get confessionals, typically. Like, a Camille will get a confessional occasionally as a guest.
Elise Slane. She was
a friend of.
I don't know if she was ever officially a friend of.
I think she was.
I don't know.
I think they just didn't do a photo shoot for her, but I think she was a friend of.
Okay. Let's ask Bravo.
Could be wrong.
Wow. Remember Bethany and Jill mentioned Elise Slane?
Oh, yes.
And Elise Slane was there in the beginning.
Elise Slane was part of their, like, second ever meeting. Oof. Oh, my God. Go, everyone, Google Elise Slane, page 6.
No. Like, the
protest that happened outside of her apartment. Oh,
of course.
Also, the only time I've ever purchased a cameo was Elise Slane for the fans of this podcast.
You were inspired by the protests.
Shut up. And that's where we are. That's why Come Through Queen fans are known as you people.
Okay. We have, as we do every week, a Freak of the Week and the One True Queen.
And because Jess is the guest, we're going to give her the Freak of the Week.
Well, no, no, no.
No, 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 no. We're going to give her we're
going to
give the honor. Could you imagine?
Oh, my God.
No, we're going to give her the honors to do the Freak of the Week. To name the Freak of the Week. Naming rights.
After all the work you put in tonight. Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay, my pick for Freak of the Week is the caller on Radio Andy, Amy from Austin, who got Andy to admit that he would like to, quote, bang the lights out of Matt Rogers.
So this was a follow-up call after earlier in the week.
Brendan, you take it from here.
Amy from Austin.
It started, I think, Tuesday night on, so Matt has been hosting Reality Checked, which is Amy Phillips' old a serious show, and they're doing, like, guest weeks.
Yeah.
And this woman called in and was asking Matt, like, why aren't him and Andy an item? And she kept on pushing, yada, yada, yada. And then she was like, you know what I'm going to do? Tomorrow morning when I'm listening to Andy Cohen live, I'm going to call in. And so she did. And it was just like, both Matt and Andy had kind of the same vibe. They were like, oh, yeah, we were maybe going to go on a date, like, at one point, but, like, someone got COVID and it just never happened. Then, like, Matt was a guest on Watch What Happens Live and, like, the vibes were off. And then, like, now apparently Matt and Andy are, like, entering into certain business ventures together potentially. So it wouldn't even be, like, possible. But this woman just kept pushing. And then did she call into Reality Checked that night too? Did she do 3 calls?
She didn't call in. The producer played all of that material for Matt to react
off. Oh my God.
And Matt was loving it.
Oh my God. I mean, the way she sang it, she wants it as if, like, they're going to walk down the aisle together. And, like, if anything, I feel like it would be like a date and a bang.
That's exactly what Andy was getting at when he, like,
he said he thinks they're on the same page.
Yeah. And he said, like, if I saw him, like, walking down the dock, which I assumed he was talking about Fire Island.
He said if he saw him on the boardwalk. On the boardwalk. In fact, at one point, I think he said if I saw him in the meat rack. Somebody mentioned the meat rack.
Oh, John Hill mentioned the meat rack. Well, and Andy was like, oh, I would never be in the meat rack.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it just was like, it was very much to me like, I have two gay friends. They
and,
should
And
date.
I want
to
like push the two Ken dolls together and make them kiss.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like that analogy that it's like, at a wedding, like when you meet the gay cousin, and yeah. It's like, are you gonna start a life together? Yeah. Not your own cousin.
Yeah. I love Brendan like stumbling like the moments during this back half. Well, okay. One true queen.
This is a you, Dan.
This
moment.
Is a me. This is a me. This is also a you.
This
I would
is
say.
A me. Yeah.
This is a you. Okay, we got two ads, and like you know, we love ads, right?
Capitalism, baby.
We got a Haunted Mansion ad starring three people on their off season.
Mm-hmm.
We got Gisele Bryant.
Yes, for me.
For you. We got Dorit. For me.
For you.
We got Lisa Barlow for both of us.
Sure.
And like, I gotta say, was this Lisa Barlow's first on-screen SponCon, like on Bravo? I don't recall seeing her.
Maybe.
I don't really recall seeing like a lot of the Salt Lake City girls.
Maybe, but I think like she's not the moment in this. Okay. The moment is Dorit's acting.
The Dorit's acting, great actress, but also like acting across her close friend, Jamie.
Yes.
of Jamie Lee Curtis fame.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like perfect.
Well, yeah, that's the chef kiss. It's
yeah,
like
that's amazing.
The Haunted Mansion is starring Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. So that was great. But I really do got to give it to Lisa Barlow. I thought she like really lit up the screen. And speaking of Lisa Barlow lighting up the screen, like there was, it was Taco Bell, I think, on Twitter where like, remember when you were scrolling and like every tweet was Lisa Barlow, Taco Bell, and like everyone was tweeting about that?
I thought it's been Wendy's.
Oh, was it? It might have been Wendy's too. Okay, but like we got a new Wendy's campaign that launched this week. Where it's just like this like psychotic montage of like, I love it. I love it. Oh my God, I love it. And like Alex was playing it while we were driving down from Maine. And I was like, it was hard to keep the eyes on the road, really.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it's like the siren's call. Like in Greek mythology, like me crashing into the rocks.
And it almost feels like a callback to You Gotta Holler at Me.
Oh my God, yes.
Frank, Feisty Frank, Watch What Happens Live original starring Heather Thompson.
Yes. Wow, so you gotta love us being sold stuff.
Wow, us shilling for brands who aren't paying us.
Well, let's shill for our friend Jess.
Guys.
You got two podcasts to listen to. You got Hot Takes and Deep Dives, and you've got the podcast of the summer, Finding Fire Island.
Maybe the year.
Maybe the year.
God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's not too late to catch up because we still got like live episodes dropping coming up.
There'll be eight proper episodes and just finished putting the finishing touches on the bonus.
Ooh.
Yes. So I thought originally. I was like, I don't know if we have enough material. It's like a solid 26 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And, like there's stuff. It's, yeah.
And true Hot Takes and Deep Dives heads know that certain moments from that podcast have appeared in Finding Fire Island. I caught the Lady Bunny moment today.
Yes.
So where can we find you online?
JessXNYC on Instagram.
Yeah. YouTube too.
Oh yeah. You can throw in Hot Takes and Deep Dives and all my interviews are there.
Love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
This was a blast.
Oh my God. Love having you here. And as always, go to comethroughqueen.com for links to everything. Patreon. Our pre-show is jam-packed.
Please sign up for the Patreon.
Please. You also have a bonus episode. I think we forgot to mention this earlier. There's a bonus episode. We are opening the vault for a recap of the Dinner Party from Hell.
Yes.
Wow. So that's going to be an extra little special treat for you there. And just like, comment, subscribe, heart, share, retweet.
Love us, please retweet.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
I want to see you come through, queen.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.